Podcast. 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 Cast. Cast. Podcast.
CurseCleveland.com podcast. And now, without further ado, today's host, Sports Boy Tony.
Well, it was ugly again, folks. I thought for sure the Cavaliers were going to win this game and steal back home court advantage and take care of things at home the rest of the series. And clearly, that's not an option anymore after a 116-114 overtime loss. Another classic, another thriller between the Cavs and the Magic. And now the Cavs face the daunting task of having to win three straight to win this series in seven and do it at home, which means, of course, they're going to have to win another game in Orlando. And that's just to force a game seven. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Guys, once again, Rossitron and Neil Sika joining me, SBT, here on the podcast on CurseCleveland.com. We'll start out with Neil tonight. I know you want to some of the stuff that I read from you earlier today kind of slanted in the direction of Mike Brown. Is that kind of where you...
Well, I don't want to go off the deep end here and completely blame him. There were some things definitely in overtime that I thought should have taken the brunt of the coaching staff's blame. But, you know, let's be honest, fellas. We keep, throwing shit at the wall here with the same end result. It's been the same type of an outcome the last four games, no matter how the game finishes. It's a matter, I think, just really when it boils down to it, of the supporting cast of the Cavaliers has not scored consistently enough, period. That's it. And you can talk about the matchups all you want. You can talk about how bad they've been beaten on pick and rolls. The whole thing for me is summed up, I think, 8 minutes to go in the game through the rest of overtime. Did Mo Williams take a shot? I don't think so. I go back and find where he took a shot. Then they're running screen and rolls for him, screen and rolls with him and LeBron late in the game with Dwight Howard in foul trouble. I mean, I don't want to go off on tangents here with the coach, but the point is, that is a guy you've relied on to score. What did he average during the regular season? Eight. Who knows? And he was a little more active, but still was kind of inconsistent. They had something going with Delonte West in the post for a little while. You know, they didn't stick with that. The supporting cast hasn't been there. 93-90 with 4.5 minutes left. And this didn't matter with the end results of the game. But, you know, they get a wide open look for three. West misses. They come down. Orlando comes down at the other end. And Lewis, just like Petrus, Ray for Alston tonight. They've made their shots. And that's the whole story in the series when it's all
said.
Yeah,
I thought, to kind of piggyback on that, I thought the Cavs supporting cast played a lot better for three quarters. But like you said, it seems to be Orlando hitting the shots, the timely shots when it matters, that little drought they had in the fourth quarter notwithstanding for the Magic when they missed a few threes. But Delonte West was huge for this team on both ends of the floor the entire game. Mo Williams, although obviously another poor shooting night overall, 5 of 15, got to the free throw line in that first half, most noticeably in the first quarter, also had 5 rebounds, and was killing the Magic off the dribble, presenting all sorts of problems for them. But you're right, Neil, in the fourth quarter and in overtime down the stretch, this team, you could just tell there was that feeling that they didn't want to take those shots. And they, if they were going to take them, they weren't going to make them. Ross, what did you think tonight in that one?
Obviously I'm beyond upset. I felt like tonight I said, well, a couple things. Number one, I said I thought the defense was good in game three despite all the fouls, and I did. And then I also said in the pregame thing on Curse Cleveland, if LeBron got 45, 12, and 7, that was a bad thing for the Cavs, and he ended up with 44, 12, and 7. And, he played 50 minutes tonight, and he had 7 assists versus 8 turnovers. And it's a lot easier. And listen, what I want to get to is I thought the defense was horrible tonight, but we'll talk a little bit about the offense. I just feel like, you know, when nobody else is willing to step up, and, you know, Delonte West has kind of replaced old Zdrunas Ilgauskas from the previous Cavs teams as the only other above-average Cavalier. Varejao was good tonight, specifically on, beside the 3 dunks he gave up. You know, he had 5 steals on defense, and he was good on defense.
But, foul trouble, though. Yeah.
You know, obviously nobody's shooting well. 6 of 22 from 3 when LeBron went 4 of 10, and one of the misses was kind of the prayer at the end. West 0 of 3 from 3. Mo Williams 0 of 3 from 3. Zerbiak missed 1. Gibson 2 of 5 from 3. Whereas the Magic have, you know, a bunch of Jason Caponos out there now. And Pietrus, you know, where Rashard Lewis has always been a good 3-point shooter. And Rafer Alston. The main problem tonight, and hopefully it's where we spend our time, is with the Cavs half-court defense. And, you know, 3 guys in particular. LeBron, Zdrunas, and Mo Williams. I mean, these guys continue to get, you know, and when Wally was in there, it was Wally as well. But, you know, you're continuing to kind of just find your guys not with you. They're not treating the guys that they're guarding like their girlfriends. And it's just really killing me. And sometimes it's off Hedges, but most of the time it's just, you know, these guys just aren't focused. They got focused with 3.5 minutes left in the game, and they finally had to switch Delonte West, our, by far, in a way, our best defender, onto Rafer Alston at some point because, you know, LeBron just wasn't stepping up to the task on defense. And pretty much beside Varejao, it just, oh, my God, just so many lapses on defense throughout the entire game.
Well, they came at the worst possible time too. Plus, they got beat again in both ways. I mean, they hit 17 effing threes.
It could have been worse.
And then Howard scores 6 straight, has 3 straight dunks to begin the overtime.
You put him on the line.
Maybe he makes 4 of 6 there.
Yeah, but it's got to be a defense, Neil, that is really wondering. This thing that they bought into, and what they bought into since Mike Brown's been here and the guys that have been brought in with the acquisitions, they've bought into this system. They have so much confidence in what they do, every single one of them. And to see everything break down systematically and consistently against this gimmick offense with so many weapons in Orlando, I think they don't have the confidence anymore. I think they're not surviving on instinct anymore. They're such a disciplined defense, and they're always ready to help. And against this team and this gimmick that Stan Van Gundy runs, it almost hurts them.
You cannot help this team.
Well, what's really disappointing is they finally forced some turnovers tonight. They were able to get out in the open floor, and again, a lot of that was early in the game, but, you know, that's twofold because LeBron was careless with the ball several times down the stretch. I mean, how many times watching that game did you think, you know, when the lead got up to 6 or 7, I'm surprised they even had life to make it what it was. And
I agree.
Personally, I thought the game was really decided before the Lewis jump shot on the loose ball. I thought Howard should have been called for a loose ball foul.
I also thought it was a foul. And they didn't show the good replay. They showed the wrong angled replay. So on the replay they showed, you wouldn't have thought it was a foul. But I think during the gameplay, I thought it was a foul. And we get that ball. Yeah. And we get that ball, and I'm sorry. And West had the advantage to the ball. I thought it was a loose ball foul. We get that ball, game's over. Nonetheless, I gotta get back to, if you were to spot shadow, if you watch these games on the defensive end, and really like your typical basketball fan or your average Cavs fan isn't really like watching the defense per se, and not really understanding why guys are open. But if you spot shadow LeBron, Mo Williams, Z, and some of the other guys that came in of the bench crew, I mean, these guys are really, really just having a lot of mental lapses / not putting enough effort forth on the defensive end. I mean, we only have one guy. I really like kept screaming like Delonte West has to guard the entire team.
Again, the point I made, your second leading scorer didn't take a shot for the last 13 plus minutes of regulation.
Yeah.
I mean, that come on.
Yeah, you know, I want to go back through the end of regulation into overtime. You know, Orlando had a chance. They had an 8-point lead, I think, with about, what, 5 minutes to go. They missed a few open threes that could have blown that game wide open, and they could have been done that early in the fourth. But Cavs battled back. LeBron got it going. It seems, I think, Delonte West, he hit a couple baskets as well.
He did score. He missed the big three, but he played really well.
He did. And so in the fourth, they start to crawl back in this one, but I always had the feeling that the way that Orlando was able to continuously get the open threes, that they were once again going to make them when they counted. And then Rashard Lewis, I mean, what can you say? The guy, let me look here. Rashard was 5 of 9. You know, he didn't have a particularly good game. He ended up with 17 points. I guess that...
Yeah, he didn't. He had 3 or 4 points before the fourth started.
Right, so there you go. He turned it on in the fourth quarter, and that three, once again, a clutch shot. Seems like these Magic continue to hit the big shots in the most timely of situations. They hit that. Now the Cavs have it. I still wonder, and I really wonder, you know, LeBron with that foul. Now, a lot of people on the message boards that I were going to, either they were anti-Cleveland or whatever, they thought that you can't call that, you know, LeBron's feet get tangled up with Petrus as he's kind of barreling forward. Did you guys think that was a clear foul? I thought that's a tough one. And my question is, what was LeBron going to do if they didn't call that foul? Was he going to get any kind of a shot up, period? I thought he went a little late there.
That's clearly why I think while Howard was able to play most of the second half and didn't pick up fouls until late, but they still had him going into overtime. And on the road, you know, you go by the old adage, you play for the win on the road. Whether he's going to hit another game-winning three, who knows? But, yeah, you make a good point. What if he doesn't get that call? Then the game ends and they don't even get a shot away?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's tough. You don't have to run a lot of plays, believe me, if you got LeBron.
I got to say, I didn't think it was much of a foul. I mean, based on...
I agree.
You know, I've seen Petrus, hound the hell out of LeBron the last three games of this series. And so to call that, I don't know. And LeBron even, you know, before that, when he was getting us back into the game the last 3.5 minutes, we came back. What really got us into the game was him going to the hole, getting the free throws. And then all of a sudden he came out in overtime and would kind of like hedge past the guy guarding him on the pick and roll and then stop at the elbow or like stop 10 feet away and start like looking for guys to bail him out. Like, he's got to continue to go to the hole, and if you get your shot blocked or, you know, the jump ball happens or you turn it over, so be it. But once you just start stopping on the elbow and not forcing the issue, when you've got a bunch of guys that are kind of shitting their pants, don't know what to do with the ball, like they all look like Pavlich did in Game 5 against Detroit, so much went wrong, and we were somehow in that game.
But, LeBron, how about the free throws?
Buzzing.
I got rid of the buzzing. How about the free throws? You had to be excited to see LeBron with 0.5 on the clock. I thought he was going to miss, guys. I really did. I was buying into the hype. He made them. He made the free throws, and he was absolutely clutch in that situation for the second time in the series, really. So I could turn that down now. I had to. This was a soundbite I was going to play if we were going to win.
Yes.
It didn't work out, but I still was able to shoehorn it in.
But, yeah, I can't laugh tonight. But
it doesn't really feel the same talking about the free throws, knowing that they still kind of imploded in the overtime. And that's kind of where I still want to get into some coaching about this, because to some credit, they got into their sets faster, and they were a little. I mean, they had a lot of point production in the paint. I think it was clearly obvious. You know, they were getting to the rim. They were getting some shots off. But to not attack Howard vehemently when he was in foul trouble late, and then to not foul him, you know, again, that's direct coaching. And then Ben Wallace, Tony, you and I were talking off air. He was effective, but you have on the floor guarding Lewis, and he runs right into the screen. I mean, you know, that's one up for Van Gundy in those situations. I'm not talking about the whole game, but key components there, just breakdowns. And Mike Brown ain't saying anything in the huddle.
So that's on tape, by the way. So Neil's talking about, obviously, the circumstances down the stretch, and he wasn't thrilled with Mike Brown. Obviously, not having a timeout for that last play, even though LeBron gets a great shot off. Want to see what you thought about that, Ross, because
I love how we talk about how a 40-footer
fading to the scorer's table is a good shot, but you know he can make that. He's proven he can. Yeah,
he's got to throw that underhanded, and then I think he'd even have a better percentage of making that shot. Ross, what did you kind of think? What did you see? What stood out as Mike Brown? Some coaching situations you'd like to isolate.
Okay, well, before I get to Mike Brown, who was awful again tonight, yeah, I think the two free throws for LeBron were huge, and I'm the biggest LeBron fan in the world, but I honestly didn't think he'd get both. And the second one really did almost come off. And then, but then he makes that fadeaway three where he barely keeps his 1 foot in bounds.
Yep.
In overtime, I mean, that was an amazing shot. But okay, well, let me say, you know, like, and I just want to harp on defense. You know, we're going to talk about offense. Everybody likes to talk about offense, but the reason Mike Brown is Mike Brown, the reason he gets paid what he does and is what he is he comes from the Spurs and the Pacers, and we D up. But 50 points in the first half, which was a lot of Alston, 50 points in the second half, 16 in overtime. What happened was they were getting diced up already, and then they had West and Varejao out of the game towards the start of the fourth, the both of those guys out of the game. Those I know LeBron, second in voting for Defensive Player of the Year, first team all defense. Our two best defenders are West and Varejao. They had them out of the game at the exact same time, and we just gave up so many points and threes during that stretch. And he finally got a timeout and got them both back in the I think he put West in the game, and then he had Ben Wallace in the game because Varejao had foul trouble. Obviously Varejao, you know, needs to be fouling Dwight Howard. Don't worry about fouling out. That needs to be expressed. And the foul call on Varejao, a sixth foul call when LeBron arguably had the jump ball, awful call by the refs. Yeah, offensively, I don't really care what subs they make. I mean, I'd rather just the starters play. Not Gibson or Zerbiak, but just
there was a Daniel Gibson sighting in the first half.
That's
he
right.
Went 2 of 5 from three, so give him credit.
And then he missed two open ones when they really
wide
mattered
open.
In the fourth
wide
quarter.
Open.
And then
the thing too. I mean, guys, again, they're averaging close to 100 points in the series, but it's Orlando what plus 36 in threes tonight. Again, a case of just making shots. I keep thinking I'm watching Jamar Butler in 07 against Florida at the Georgia Dome. I mean, my God, you make at least three or four of them, then you're winning at least two of these games.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you just said about Jamar Butler and Ron Lewis. That's exactly what it all of a sudden looks like when guys hit threes all year. I mean, and I mean all year. And those guys were cold-blooded behind that 18-foot line. Our guys were cold-blooded all year behind the three-point line. But back to ripping Mike Brown and his strategy and coaching. Alston, I mean, he killed us in the first half. It was all because, you know, I don't know if you want to make an excuse for LeBron, but LeBron exerting himself on the offensive end. Well, what do they come out and do in the third quarter? They keep LeBron on Rafer. LeBron, I think Mo actually got switched on to Rafer. It goes wide open jump shot. Wide open jump shot with LeBron on him. Wide open jump shot with Mo on him. The most wide open jump shot in the history of the world. 22 seconds left on the shot clock. LeBron James fades back about 8 feet and gives this guy a wide open three. And they wait until, what, five, six, 7 minutes left in the game to finally switch West onto him and for somebody to yell at LeBron to just stick with Turkoglu a little bit. I mean, if Delonte's your best defender and LeBron's going to, you know, have to score the 45 on the other end and just doesn't want to play defense, you got to make that switch sooner. Yep. Use your 15 minutes in halftime.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, like I said before the series started, this was going to be a series LeBron was going to have to defend. It's not that I doubted his ability to defend, but what I wondered was how is this guy going to have to be so dominant offensively and then – you know, have to actually exert the energy over 40-some minutes, and tonight played 49 minutes, and the Magic make you run. They make you run in the half court defensively, and that's something that I think it has shown to be very difficult, and it's another reason that obviously, you know, I should say this, Wally Zerbiak did get 21 minutes tonight. Daniel Gibson got 21 minutes, so those guys did go in the game, but you know that's why they weren't playing earlier in the series. I think it had more to do with their defense. The Heat didn't trust their defense in these games, and now he realizes, well, it doesn't matter who we play. We got to get guys in there that can hit the open three.
And that's always the case. I mean, that's been the case. That's why Sasha Pavlovich didn't play early on, or at least didn't play in game one. All those guys' minutes have fluctuated because it's a defensive thing. It's certainly not on the offensive end. But then they lose confidence. I mean, it's almost like we're in high school again, where they don't have the confidence in their shot. And you make what you will of a Daniel Gibson. But you know, I thought Wally, he is what he is. His legs aren't going to service him in the way that they did in the first few years of his career. Not that he was ever agile enough to defend.
But you know what? Wally got beat once with ease by Haidu.
Yeah,
but,
and then he came down and scored.
But then he came back and scored with a three-point play, missed a free throw. But he was also very physical with Haidu. And, you know, Wally
and Rashard Lewis a little bit.
I do agree, actually. Rashard's not looking to slash anymore at this point. The only time he slashes is when he wants to pull up. So Wally at 6'7 does cause, actually, with his strength, a few problems for Haidu. I know you don't want him out there too long, having to defend that screen and roll, but, man, I didn't think he did that poorly tonight, and I think that's probably why he did see 21 minutes. But if Wally's out there for 21 minutes, I think he's got to take more than one three-pointer. If that's what he's going to be out there that long, he's got to take
– because
he's going to hit him. He's going to hit him. He's one guy, can't question. Wally Szczerbiak's going to hit the threes.
Well, we thought that Mo Williams would keep shooting too, and he wasn't even looking for the ball. Again, don't even get me started there. But, guys, I mean, does this go back to Orlando, or does it wrap up?
Yeah.
It fairly easily could be over in four games had it not been for the LeShot.
Yeah, no. Did he? Very good. Very trademark. Oh, by the way, I had to get this in. Ladies and gentlemen, start podcasting great. Come on, podcast. That's the equivalent of what we had to hear tonight once again at Amway Arena. Really, do they need to tell the crowd to actually exert themselves and get behind the team? How bad
well, the Thunder
is that?
Sticks are brutal. I mean, they're just bad.
The Thunder Sticks, it's the, come on, support the Magic, folks. Come on. We get it. We get it. You're at an Eastern Conference Finals game, for goodness sake, and your team is taking control, and their crowd is as bad as I've seen on this team.
You've got a bunch of hot blondes who are trophy wives of people on the Hooters tour, and everyone else says their season passes to Disney. Orlando has never been a good sports town. It never will be. is that from like a Jim Gaffigan XM special?
I don't know where that's,
The point being, look, I would hope that there's at least a more intensified atmosphere with everything that's at stake for the Cavaliers season on Thursday.
I'm calling it guaranteed win night. I'm calling it absolute guaranteed win night. No doubt. Who's playing that? It's guaranteed win night. There is no doubting. They're going to go home. That crowd is going to be enthusiastic. They don't have to worry about a Tribe game because the Indians wrap up their series, right? So they
Two
in a row. How about that, tonight, Carl Pavano, ladies and gentlemen? But I think it's a win. Ross, I know I know here it's outrage over there in Chesterland. But they're gonna win.
I mean, I just that point, that's the first time I thought about that when Neil said that. And I don't understand why this doesn't keep happening to us, but this has been four games of fucking Jamar Butler. And who's the other? Ron Lewis. I mean, and you're right. Mo Williams didn't look for a shot. Delonte had a wide open one. Delonte didn't shoot the three well, but Delonte played fucking awesome. And I'm sorry, I'm just losing control or starting with the F-bombs. But 7 assists, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. So 7 assists, Delonte West doesn't have the ball in his hands very much. No turnovers. I mean, he doesn't have the ball in his hands very much.
I'll tell you what, that's the disparaging thing. You're telling me how well Delonte played. We know Z defense. Defensively, he's not helping you out. But 5 of 9, all right, you know, 12 points. Anderson Varejão, he was in foul trouble, but when he was in there, he was still causing problems for Orlando. And really, great play, by the way, at the end of regulation by Anderson. I know some people wanted a foul there. No way. That's not a foul.
No. Yeah, that was great defense. Hey, and Anderson is great.
Howard hooked him anyway. He leveraged into him, so it was all.
If anything, it was on Howard.
So a heads-up play there. Joe Smith, guys, tonight, 4 minutes.
Yeah, he should have. You know, he should have played more so than Ben Wallace, I think, because we saw Ben Wallace start to struggle. And I think not only are the wide-open threes killing us when the threes go in, but when guys are late on their rotations, all it takes is one pump fake, and you're playing 5-on-4 again. And, go ahead.
Well, that's again, I think, goes back to the coaching insecurity of not knowing. I mean, Orlando knows what they do well, like they have all season long.
and in the playoffs, what's made them go on this miraculous run, turning Michael Petras into Jerry West over the last week and a half, where he's seemingly played the best basketball of his life.
17 points, 5 3-pointers.
I mean, my God. The point is, though, guys coming off the bench, he doesn't know. He almost doesn't know. I mean, it's a crapshoot for him at this point. And part of it's twofold because he doesn't know what the effort's going to be. I mean, Pavlovich, good in game two. Lousy in game three. I mean, they're enigmas. They're mysteries. And you can look at the bench, but again, it still comes down to you have enough crux of people in the starting lineup. And you mentioned how West played well tonight, and he did. But again, your second leading scorer, who was just, I don't know, taking a new personality upon himself in this series. I still can't live with the fact that he didn't take a shot in the last 13 minutes.
Go ahead, Ross.
I was just going to say, yeah, the Cavs, you know, and I know everybody just wants me to shut up about how good we played this season, but, you know, we went 66-16 because we were second in the league, I think, in three-point percentage,
right?
above Orlando, and, you know, 38 or 39%, I don't have it in front of me, but, I mean, that's a big deal. And the old Cavs teams, when we sucked on offense really bad and everybody knew we sucked and we couldn't shoot threes, Mike Brown still made his substitutions and his rotation based on defense. I mean, Damon Jones is a 10 times better offensive player than Eric Snow, but Eric Snow was always the guy getting the minutes. And now it's like we're scrambling what to do because we got to kind of score with them, and we got to play like it's a Phoenix Knicks game. And, oh, I'm just so lost right now.
Well, that's what the Spurs team – that's the difference. So no one make that Spurs comparison because Popovich and whoever we would have had, whether they were old and over the hill, they would have found a way to contain and at least play their style to where it benefited them and made it a series or at least pushed them in front. And that's the complete difference.
I agree with that.
You'd be able to do that offensively if you had a little more versatility. We don't have that.
Well, we're talking about personnel here. I mean, let's be honest. It's everyone knows it was a bad matchup, or it was going to be something that was going to be a pain in the ass.
I didn't know.
Fight,
no.
And it has.
I didn't know it was going to be like that.
You got if you go back and you watch the last like month of the regular season, the Philadelphia series, and the Boston series, you will not see Rafer Alston making threes like
that. They pulled some things out of their ass.
Beatrice making threes like that.
But, you know, the Cavs are just as well to blame because you've got big leads at the half at home, and you've got to at least be able to close out those games. I mean, outside of what happened on Friday night, they were still in the mode of giving them the game. Turnovers, poor shot selection when it mattered, and ultimately it's probably going to end up costing them.
All right, guys. Well, we got about a minute left. I'll start with Ross. You know I feel very confident about this next game, and that's all that needs to happen with this Cavs team. I know that sounds like homer talk. You know me. I'm not a homer. I just think if they can win one, and we parse this down to one at a time, I think maybe they can turn this whole thing around. It's not going to be easy, guys. Now it has to go seven if they're going to win it, and they're going to have to win one in Orlando. So, Ross, what do you think about come Thursday? Do you think I'm guessing you think they're going to win, but who's doing that?
I definitely think they're going to win. I definitely think they're going to win Thursday, and I think we can win the three straight. And I just think that – you got to remember, we're on the road tonight. Our guys are still playing awful, not giving LeBron any help. LeBron turned the ball over a lot tonight, and Orlando has guys stepping up. When we get the game to overtime, we lose by one or two. We're playing like shit. We got killed by the refs in game three. I still think we can win this series. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, well, let's win Thursday and then talk then.
All right, guys.
We're going to win Thursday, I promise.
I hope the players are using home court like a crutch as we are here, but I do think they get it done. And, you know, we have LeBron. I mean, LeBron once again showed tonight why I think he's the best player. I'm sure you guys think as well, though. B. Smith didn't like his 8 turnovers. That's a shocker. 5 seconds, anything?
No, nobody likes the 8 turnovers. Go Cavs!